As you probably know, the piece can be done either as just baritone soloist or baritone soloist and chorus. It's very meshed together between soloist, chorus, and orchestra. I feel like extracting any of those forces, you know, doing it with just organ and soloist, or just soloist and even orchestra without the chorus, I think is lacking a major portion of the work as a whole.
And I mean, there are even theological implications there, meaning in one sense, if it's just the soloist, it's one person in prayer, where when you're joined with the chorus, I mean, it could be interpreted as a heavenly host or as a communal prayer, that kind of thing.
Yes, Yvonne Williams is he uses the chorus in a number of facets.
And so rehearsing with the chorus, I mean, how much work is it to prepare for a piece like this that involves a cast of hundreds?
Well, that is going to be a challenge, and I have complete faith in their preparation, but especially doing this high British work with such a large chorus will be a challenge, because it's very intimate in lots of places. I mean, you can flip to the last move in the antiphon and blast away if you want to, and that's exhilarating as well, to create that atmosphere of this prayer-like sound with a chorus of hundreds is going to be quite exhilarating.
If you do it right.
Exactly.
It becomes a spiritual experience,
doesn't it?
I mean, for everybody involved, for the audience, for you guys, for the orchestra.
Yes.
And that helps in your delivery of the words as well. It's almost like method acting, in the sense that you've got to kind of take on, as the primary soloist, almost a faith in what's being sung in order to really deliver it properly. Or am I assuming too much there?
No, you're absolutely right. And I would say that's one of the biggest challenges in performing this piece, is because it's so intimate and internal and meditative that it's a struggle to incorporate all of that, but still present to a large audience over a large force. Because it would be very easy for me to withdraw and meditate on this beautiful poetry and music, but then I'm going to be cutting off the audience completely. So it's a balance of performing in a large hall to a large audience over a large orchestra and chorus, while still bringing this prayer-like internal struggle to life.
How do you do that? I mean, you see how method actors get into character. Do you have to do the same thing? And how would you do that for this piece then?
You have to go through the music note by note and marking by marking, and be very diligent about exactly what you're doing at the exact time. But it is a mental process as well. You know, you have to know your surroundings and your forces and your setting, and prepare mentally as well, because if you are too what's the word I'm looking for? If you are too relaxed about it, then to the audience, it's going to seem boring. But if you are too amped up about it, then it's going to be the wrong setting. So it is a mental state as well as a preparation.
Doing pieces like this, sacred music like this, has this enhanced your own spirituality?
You know, There is something about music, especially of the level of this the five mystical songs that Vaughan Williams, I think, captured. He really attached a piece of himself in this music, and he himself struggled with his beliefs, a self-proclaimed agnostic and atheist at times. I think he really connected to this music, this poetry by George Herbert, which has a lot of conflict in it.
Because George Herbert was at a time of great conflict, religious conflict in England, in Great Britain.
Exactly. And he himself was a very religious man. But obviously, you know, everyone has moments of conflict. And when you perform something like this, and the music is really coming from you, you know, you... you you can't help but sense a relationship between the composer and the poet and the forces around you and everything that they are depicting and trying to present to the world. It's a very moving experience, and it's one of the most exhilarating things about being a soloist.
And so you walk away from this performance, maybe a changed person?
You know, music is this is an obvious statement, but music is powerful, and it certainly has the ability to change people. And it has changed people in a much less dramatic setting than what we will be presenting on the 16th. It's very mystical. it's mysterious in how it works and how it can transform a person. Absolutely.
And that puts a heck of a burden also on your conductor.
Absolutely. He's the one who the responsibility inevitably falls on, as the one in charge, the leader of it all. And, I am the face, of the performance to the audience, but if I'm the face, then he's the brain. So without an accomplished conductor, this piece would fall apart, especially with the number of forces that we're using.
Now you're talking about conflict here, and it sounds like conflict is an important part of this piece. Where does the conflict lie as it's performed? Is the conflict, say, between you and the chorus or between different elements of the chorus? I mean, in the music, how do I perceive that conflict as the listener?
I think the conflict is mostly in the poetry, actually. George Herbert actually described his own poetry, these particular songs, as a picture of the many spiritual conflicts that have passed betwixt God and my soul. And knowing that, knowing what was going through his mind while he was writing these, it becomes very clear. Some of them are much more resolute. And some of them begin with conflict and end with resolution, but I find that the poetry is where the conflict really lies. Vaughan Williams, of course, I think was drawn to this poetry and sets it beautifully with the exact mood and flavor and tonal picture that it deserves and needs.
Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it was my pleasure.